Monday, May 28th, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. So today's show will no doubt be disliked by many simply for my speaking the truth, and largely censored by others for the very same reason. But in my eyes, there is no better day to honor the sacrifice of so many by taking the quintessentially American action of speaking truth to power and exposing the lies they were sold by the state. Far too many have been conditioned from birth to blindly serve, to see anything else as an affront to what this country represents. But this nation has not represented what it claims to for quite some time, which is why I do what I do. To awaken those lost in the lies to the reality that their loyalties have been hijacked by those who care nothing for the love we have of this country's core values. Whether they were ever truly practiced by its founders or not, they have become real for us. This slowly materializing mountain of lies is also why there is such forceful efforts to make holidays like today about glorifying the state and its war efforts, as opposed to those they tricked into carrying them out, despite that being the claim. And to make those of us saying anything less out to be deceivers and manipulators, truly accusing us of that which they are guilty. But this is classic propaganda in the truest sense of the word. And the saddest part is that so many have bought into this, so much so that they do not even know their own history and turn around and call those of us still embracing the true values of this country as the enemy, treasonous even. And a perfect example is a comment I received yesterday, and I only bring this up to make a point in just how distorted reality is for these individuals. The comment reads, "If you talk bad about our president, you are not a patriot. You're not in the need to know on the behind the intel that our president has. You need to be rejected and sent to those camps that Hillary wanted to send people. Idiot." To which I responded, no, sadly, it is willfully ignorant people such as yourself who have been so programmed to think blind subservience is patriotism, you are allowing this country to become the authoritarian state that it is quickly turning into. As even former President Theodore Roosevelt once said, to announce that there must be no criticism of the president or that we must stand by the president right or wrong is not only unpatriotic and servile, but it is morally treasonable to the American people. And yet, here we are. So today, all I ask of those of you out there currently recoiling in disgust for my willingness to speak ill of this country on such a day is first understand that I'm not speaking ill of this country. That is the deception. I love this country. I'm speaking ill of those who have deceived the masses and used their love of the nation to carry out wars of aggression in their name. And second, to take a step back and simply look at what such blind subservience to those in power who arrogantly lie to maintain it has done to both this country and to those around the world who dared to think for themselves. For the first story of the day, coming from ZeroHedge.com, U.S. threatens Syria with firm and appropriate measures after new airstrikes. So Washington is once again concerned about Syrian government's expansion inside, wait for it, Syria. The United States threatened to take firm and appropriate measures against Syrian government forces, claiming repeat ceasefire violations and concerned over reports that the Syrian army may be poised for a new military operation to retake its own territory in the country's south. The U.S. warning issued late Friday comes as Syrian government forces have cleaned out the last ISIS pockets in the country's south, and Damascus is now in its strongest position since the early months in the war of 2011. The government has recaptured all remaining insurgent areas near Damascus in recent weeks, including the densely populated eastern Ghouta areas, as well as big enclaves in central Syria. So essentially, while warning against Assad regime violations and expansion, the State Department is reasserting the U.S. position that Syria cannot expand within its own sovereign borders. Borders obviously long recognized internationally and by the United Nations. And for a different perspective on this, coming from Brandon Turbeville of theactivistpost.com, from his article, U.S. warns of firm response if Syria attacks ISIS. No, really. In an apparent attempt to remove all pretense that the United States is nothing more than Al-Qaeda's air force in Syria, the American government is warning its Syrian counterpart that if the SSA moves ahead with its upcoming southern offensive to remove ISIS and Al-Qaeda terrorists from its southern borders, the U.S. will take firm and appropriate measures. In other words, the United States is telling Syria that it had better not attack ISIS forces or else. Of course, while no one who has been following the Syrian crisis would be surprised that the nation who funded, organized, trained, armed, and directed terrorist forces in Syria would do whatever it could to protect its proxy army, it is rather surprising to see the U.S. government so openly state that ISIS terrorists are off limits and to do away with even the formalities of pretending that it wants to see ISIS destroyed. But speaking of lies, it is unfortunate that the average attention span of the average Westerner is so short. If it were longer, Americans might remember when the U.S. government told them, and he lists off a bunch of lies that I'm going to read off because I think they're fantastic to point out how egregious these lies truly are. One, the U.S. opposes all terrorism and is engaged in war against terror. Two, the U.S. wants stability in the Middle East. Three, Assad is a brutal dictator who kills his own people. Four, Syrians hate Assad. Five, the rebels were all democracy-loving, peaceful protesters. Six, the rebels were violent only in reaction to horrific crackdown by the Syrian military. Seven, the rebels were democracy-loving freedom fighters. There were no terrorist elements. Eight, the rebels were overwhelmingly democracy-loving freedom fighters with some jihadist elements who had infiltrated their ranks. Nine, the rebels were Syrian. 10, the rebels were mostly jihadists but had moderate elements. 11, the rebels were jihadists but better than ISIS. 12, the U.S. is not involved in Syria. That's a gem right there. 13, the U.S. is not supporting rebels. 14, the U.S. is in Syria to defeat ISIS. All of this at one point stated emphatically by the United States, and all of them today blatant and verifiable lies. As always, that's an article I highly recommend. He always has so much information in his articles. But the point is you can read down these lies, these list of lies, and see how not only within this list, they contradict themselves. And these are all verifiably stated by the U.S. at one point throughout this proxy war in Syria. But the simple fact that their own actions have contradicted these statements numerous times, it just goes to show you how much we're lied to about what's really going on there. Something that we've covered just many, many times over the last so many years about what's going on in Syria, but I think it's pretty damn obvious, the very least, we've been lied to, which is a starting point for so many who are just waking up to what's really going on there. Moving on to the next story, coming from Medium.com, written by Caitlin Johnstone, WikiLeaks calls QAnon a likely Pied Piper operation. Now, this is just a quick one that I want to touch on because it's something that I've sort of avoided getting really deep into because, as she makes the great point in this article, it's near impossible to argue with the kind of people who are almost cult-like in their belief of something that they cannot verify outside of jumping to conclusions and just simply making up any kind of explanation they can to verify what they want to believe, which is called confirmation bias, or simply picking out things that support what they already believe. I'm just going to read you one point that she said here. So on one hand, we've got WikiLeaks insiders saying QAnon is likely a psyop designed to Pied Piper the populist right into supporting establishment agendas. And on the other hand, we've got an anonymous someone on 8chan saying, trust the plan, and the president is awesome. There are not really equally credible sources. Now, that's just such an obvious point there. Now, I've had my doubts about WikiLeaks for a while, ever since Julian Assange kind of disappeared. And then I've just had my doubts and concerns since then. But it's not hard to see that what WikiLeaks has put out to date from the very beginning has not ever once been disproven, has been completely verified. It's always been factual information, which doesn't necessarily mean that we're not being led a certain direction by what they're releasing. I can't honestly point to any one thing that makes me doubt WikiLeaks' authenticity. I just have a personal feeling of anxiety about it, about whether or not it was hijacked or manipulated at one point. But as the point she makes here, very clearly, if we had to pick between one of them, WikiLeaks is a much more credible source. But as I saw someone comment earlier, also kind of the pot calling the kettle black here, both could equally be psyops, but the point here is that at this point in time, we have to see what QAnon really is and how clearly people are being manipulated. To the extent that they were willing to ignore obvious contradictions just to continue on, and whether that's based out of pride or fear, it's exactly the way that the diehard Trump supporters are willing to just completely ignore anything, which they're kind of together. QAnon and the Trump supporters have kind of been meshed together, but they're willing to basically ignore anything that contradicts their belief in Trump by simply saying, oh, it's a masterful plan that we don't understand yet, that it's leading somewhere and we just don't know yet. So just trust him. That's kind of the same thing with Q. Just trust the plan. You know, as we all just, the point in my mind from the beginning of Q, which I've said from the start, is a way to just simply make people sit back and say, oh, okay, good. It's all happening. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to speak the truth. I don't have to fight for anything. It's all happening for me. Very clearly where this is leading. So a great article here. She drops a lot of information in there. I highly recommend reading that one, but I think it's time to put that story to bed. Moving on to the next one coming from ZeroHedge.com. Caged migrant children photo goes viral as left rages at Trump, except it happened under Obama. Now, this is a story that I wouldn't usually cover because it's very clearly rooted in the two-party paradigm, meant to discredit one side and not the other and on and on. But I'm not bringing it up for that reason. The reason I want to bring this up is to simply show that, and this happens on both sides of the aisle, as I've said many times. But basically what happens in this story is that there's an image that got, you know, went around and went viral very quickly on social media about immigrant children in an ICE facility caged behind a cage sleeping on the ground. And of course, all these people on the left, in their false two-party, you know, perception of everything, put out this story saying, oh my God, look at this is what Trump's policies are doing. This is happening today. Until it was revealed that it was a picture from 2014. My guess is somebody planted this to manipulate them and they bought it hook, line, and sinker. But the real point of the story, the reason I'm bringing it up, is editors from the New York Times, people from CNN, all these different people on the left continued to put this out. And then once it was revealed that they were tricked, that it was actually a picture when Obama was president, they didn't simply say, oh yes, it's also still bad. We should be aware of these things. It's all bad. No, they just simply deleted their tweets and put it down the memory hole, right? Simply showing you that they don't care anything about these children. It's about a political agenda. It's about using it to progress what they believe and say, look, Trump's bad. What we think is right. But no, they deleted their tweets and said nothing of it. And they even put out tweets saying, kind of obfuscating the real point. Like, oh, it kind of, you know, it's deceiving and it makes you think it's from a different date. So apologies. No, well, they put it out and were very assertive about the fact that it's Trump is bad. We're good. And yet when it became the truth, they just deleted it and moved on. We have to begin to see how people on both sides of the aisle use things like this to trigger emotional reactions to further what they want to happen. We have to begin to recognize that and pull away from this two-party nonsense and realize that both sides are just talking heads, hiding a bigger agenda behind them, whether they realize it or not. And this is exactly how they do it. Moving on to the next story and the final one for today to make this a quick show if possible, coming from naturalblaze.com, Whole Foods quietly halts GMO labeling requirements. So this is one that I wanted to touch on quickly because for me, this shows a very clear point here that, I mean, Whole Foods for a long time was kind of this pillar of you know, health and you know, conscientious mentality. And really what we're seeing here is that, and not to say that they weren't at one point, but now it gets bought out by Amazon, right? Owned by Jeff Bezos and arguably the CIA, clearly part of the larger agenda. And they buy out Whole Foods. And what do? They allow GMOs and they stop labeling it and they go right down the same line. Now, what this tells me is what I think we have to see in this larger idea is that these things are connected. There's a larger agenda at play here. Why would that be the first thing they do? You could argue simply to make money, which guarantee that's part of it. But clearly the agenda here is to use the built-up reputation of Whole Foods to get the GMOs in their hands. Because ask yourself why. What do the GMOs do? What have we proven in the past? They have an effect on our health, which leads you into the big pharma aspect. I mean, there's a whole rabbit hole to go down there. But my point here is that there's a larger agenda and we have to see how all these things cross into each other. And the moment that they take over something like Whole Foods, they quickly go away with the GMO labeling and they push these things into. So people that will continue to support Whole Foods will end up buying and eating them without even realizing it. There's an agenda at play. We have to begin to see how all of these things connect. Whether we're talking about foreign policy or domestic policy or big pharma or the opiate epidemic, it all connects back to a larger effort. And we really have to begin to see that. Now, getting back to the major point here and, you know, just of today, as I'm really I tried to make this a quick show for you today, especially on a day like today, we owe it to ourselves and to those who gave their lives for a cause that they likely realized in the process of pursuing was not what they were told it was, to speak the truth and not blindly acquiesce to the jingoistic pressure of the brainwashed masses. It's not hard to do just a little research to see just how many veterans tell quite a different story about what we should be proud of and what we are really doing overseas. And it's also not hard to see just how hard the establishment works to keep their message suppressed and keep them drugged up and in the shadows. As Ray McGovern said in a great article today from Consortium News, Memorial Day should be a time of somber reflection on war's horrible costs, not a moment to glorify war. But many politicians and pundits can't resist the opportunity. As James Madison, our fourth president and the author of our Constitution, wrote, quote, "Of all the enemies to public liberty, war is, perhaps, the most to be dreaded, because it comprises and develops the germ of every other. War is the parent of armies. From these proceed debts and taxes. And armies and debts and taxes are the known instruments for bringing the many under the domination of the few. In war, too, the discretionary powers of the executive is extended. Its influence in dealing out offices, honors, and emoluments is multiplied, and all the means of seducing the minds are added to those of subduing the force of the people. No nation can preserve its freedom in the midst of continual warfare," which is exactly what we're seeing today. Now, both of these quotes from past presidents are not meant to support what they were in the past, because you could argue many of them are part of the problem as well. But their quotes clearly give us an excellent insight into exactly what we're talking about today. So as we're forcibly told today to embrace an idea of blind patriotism and subservience to the empire, lest we be seen as un-American, we should absolutely remember those who gave their lives for it, regardless of how manipulated and misled they might have been, as their actions were incredibly brave nonetheless, as they believed the mirage they were sold like so many others. Yet we owe it to them and everyone else to be honest about what it all represents and what it is all truly for. As to mindlessly say it's for freedom or spreading democracy is to simply ignore not only what those obvious lies have produced around the world, but also to allow it to carry on in your name, which to some degree makes those willing to ignore it for their daily comforts complicit, culpable even. So honor your loved ones today, honor their courage and their beliefs, but do not blind yourself to how the faceless oligarchy uses their courage to do anything but fight for freedom and liberty. To call this atrocity out for what it is truly American. It is what this country was founded upon, and I can think of no better way to honor those lost to such fruitless wars of aggression than to stand in defiance of tyranny. For more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any of the important independent sources in the show notes below. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.